Having chickens in your backyard, even in the city, has become a popular hobby. But chickens can be both a blessing and a curse in our gardens. Our guest today has figured out how gardening with chickens can be beneficial for both. This is Jill Nadeau. I'm filling in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network. On the phone with me from Maine is Lisa Steele. She is the author of the new book, Gardening with Chickens, Plans and Plants for You and Your Hens. Lisa is a lifelong gardener and fifth-generation chicken keeper. She's also a certified master gardener, and her website, Fresh Eggs Daily, has been named one of Better Homes and Gardens' top 10 gardening blogs. Do you have questions about how to get your chickens and your garden to coexist? What do you love about having chickens in your yard? We'd love to hear from you. So give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email. That's ideas@wpr.org. And of course, you can always post on our Facebook page. Just look for The Larry Mueller Show. And that would be a great place to post pictures of your chickens. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jill. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I think you guys got a lot of snow last week. Do you still have it on the ground?
Oh, we got 2 inches this morning.
Oh, lucky you. Lucky you.
Spring has not arrived to Maine. Definitely not arrived to Maine yet.
Well, we'll try to send you some of our kind of spring weather. How does that sound?
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Now, speaking of a plan, now having chickens in your garden, it just sounds like a great combination and how wonderful. But what's it like in reality?
Well, in reality, chickens are extremely destructive. They need a lot of supervision. They do eat good bugs as well as the bad bugs. They'll eat your toads. They'll eat your earthworms. They'll eat your tomatoes as likely as they'll eat weeds. So you really do need to supervise and kind of get them going in the right direction, or it's just a disaster.
And I've heard about those disasters. Before we even go into the combination, why don't you tell us a little bit about what we need to provide for chickens to make them happy and healthy?
Well, chickens are not difficult. You know, a small backyard flock, if there are any gardeners out there who, you know, are kind of thinking, maybe I would like to add some chickens to my backyard. You know, just 5 or 6 chickens. The coop doesn't need to be much bigger than like a large doghouse. They will need a pen attached, you know, to keep them safe from all kinds of predators when you're not home. But really just, you know, some chicken feed and water and collect the eggs and clean the coop out every once in a while. It's not terribly time consuming or difficult to get started with some chickens.
And that's probably why so many people have been getting them lately. If they're just easy. Okay. So you got your chickens and you got them in the backyard and you've got your garden. So what do you need to do to keep them separate, or when do you put them together?
Well, I think a mistake that a lot of people make is that they do pen up their chickens, they fence in their garden, and that's that. And they don't really combine the two and really get the benefits of gardening with chickens. You know, that's fine, and everybody can be happy that way. But I think the real benefit comes when you do let your chickens, you know, limited access to your gardens. But I definitely recommend fencing in your vegetable garden. Most people probably do anyway, just because of bunnies and deer and all that. But once you've got the garden fenced in, then you can limit access to certain seasons. Like now in the spring before you've planted, let your chickens in, let them till up the soil a little bit. They love to scratch in the dirt. You know, they'll eat a lot of the bug larvae that might have overwintered. So they'll clear all that out of your garden for you. They'll eat weed seeds. So now is actually a perfect time of year to get your chickens in the garden. You know, they'll poop a little bit. They'll fertilize.
Right,
soil.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll do a really nice job. I mean, in a week or two, you could have a really nice garden plot. Excuse me. And your chickens have done all the work for you. So all your pre-spring planting, you know, they can handle that. And then I would keep them out, obviously, once you plant your seedlings or seeds, once you've got produce growing and all that, then, you know, it's a no chicken zone for a while.
Our guest is Lisa Steele. She's a lifelong gardener and a fifth generation chicken keeper. She writes a very popular gardening blog called Fresh Eggs Daily. And we're talking about gardening with chickens. She's got a new book out. It's called Gardening with Chickens. Surprise. Plans and Plants for You and Your Hens. Have you had any misadventures with chickens in your garden? Well, we'd like to hear about it. So give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1234, or you can post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show, and we do have open lines, so please give us a call. We've actually had some people posting pictures of their chickens on Facebook and telling us some stories about having chickens in their yard. So please go right ahead and post yours up there, and maybe we can read some of those later on. Why don't you tell us, Lisa, you know, you protect your garden from your chickens, but how do you protect your chickens from your predators?
Well, that's actually more important. I mean, you know, for garden fencing, you can use chicken wire, you can use poultry netting, you can pretty much use anything that's going to be just a barrier to keep the chickens out. But when you're talking about fencing in your chickens, you want to use welded wire, you want to use chain link, you want to use something that whatever predators you're dealing with. I mean, we have coyote, fox, fisher cats, skunks, possums, raccoons, neighbors' dogs. I mean, pretty much anything will want to eat your chickens.
Sure.
So you do want to have a very secure pen for them.
Mm-hmm.
I let mine out in the afternoon, like when we're home, when the dogs are outside. Our dogs are good with our chickens. So I do love to let the chickens out to roam, and I think it's really important for them, but I think it's more important to keep them safe. So, you know, you got to err on the side of caution. And, you know, a nice large pen made out of, I prefer like a 1-inch welded wire type fencing to make sure you keep out even little things like weasels or snakes.
Oh, there's so many. Even if you're in the city, there's a lot more than you think.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you consider when you're planting your garden as far as the types of plants that you put in there? Because I know I noticed in your book you did have a list of plants that you really shouldn't have the chickens eating.
Right. I mean, there is it's a pretty short list, actually, of garden vegetables that they shouldn't have. And it's mostly the nightshade family. So you're talking your tomatoes, eggplant, peppers, white potatoes. So, you know, I have people contact me all the time and say, well, you said tomato plants are toxic, but my chickens just ate my whole entire tomato plant. I mean, they will, and they won't die. You know, toxins, they build up in the body. They're not immediately fatal. You know, your chicken's not going to eat a tomato and drop dead. I do feed my chickens tomatoes. They really love them, but I make sure that they're fully ripe. I don't feed them the stalks and the leaves, which have more of the toxin. And in the fall, once you've harvested, you know, all of your produce, is another great time to let your chickens back into the garden. But I do pull up the eggplant and the tomato and the pepper plants, and I just throw those in the woods. I don't, you know, like I said, err on the side of caution. You know, there's plenty
sure.
of other things that they'll eat, the melons and the, you know, squash and peas and all those kind of plants. So really the nightshade family, sweet potatoes are great. They're actually more nutritious than white potatoes. They're a completely different family. So we actually only grow sweet potatoes now. We don't even bother with the white potatoes. But other than that, you know, like I said, peas, melons, any kind of berries or grapes or, I mean, there's just so many other things that you can plant in the garden. All the leafy greens, kale and spinach and Swiss chard, those are super nutritious for your family too. And that's kind of, not to ramble, but that was kind of the purpose of the book, too, is trying to get people thinking, you know, the more you grow for yourselves and your family and the healthier you eat and the fresher produce you're eating, that's also healthy for your family. So, like, the whole thing just kind of makes sense, you know, bringing the chickens into the whole garden cycle and trying to get more people outside gardening and raising chickens.
Right. And I think we're all trying to eat a little healthier, so that makes total sense. We did have a listener post on Facebook. It said that at one point she was upset when one of her chickens made a dust bowl on her cucumber hill. But overall, she just loves raising them. And she thinks that they are tick eaters as well. Is that true? They eat wood ticks and deer ticks?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We've seen so many fewer ticks on our dogs and our cats since getting the chickens. We also don't see a lot of mosquitoes, and I have a feeling that we have ducks too, and I think the ducks go around and they eat the mosquito larvae out of any puddles or wherever they find them. So, yeah, chickens are wonderful as far as ticks go and just all kinds of bugs. They love Japanese beetles. Ducks will eat slugs and grubs. So even if you never let them in your garden, they can also be really good just in your lawn. You know, for keeping the bugs out of your lawn.
Yeah, and you had mentioned ducks, and you do talk about that in your book also. What are the differences between the ducks in the garden and the chickens in the garden?
Well, the ducks don't scratch in the dirt like chickens do, so they're not as rough on plants. They'll trample the smaller plants, but once your plants are a foot or two tall, you know, any produce or leaves growing up above that, they can't really reach them. Chickens can kind of, they can't really fly, but they can get more air than the ducks can.
Yes.
So you have to be a little more, I mean, ducks can, chickens can clear like a 4 foot fence. You know, and your ducks are not doing that.
The right.
Ducks are definitely more, domestic ducks can't fly. So I do find the ducks are a little bit more gentle on the garden, but they too, if given the chance, will, you know, eat your plant right down to the dirt. So
we had another comment.
Supervision.
Right, there you go. We had another comment on Facebook from Anne, and she mentioned that her hens like to lay their eggs under her hosta plant. And she discovered the nest there, and there were over 2 dozen eggs between the plant and the house.
You know what? Mine do that, too. We
do
have a
they?
Lot of hosta right around our patio, and the chickens were going under there, and I thought that they were just going in, you know, to get out of the sun. It was in the summer.
Sure.
And I wasn't thinking too much about it, and same thing. I for whatever reason, I finally, you know, parted the hosta leaves, and they had made a nest, and they were laying their eggs under there. So I think it's in the summer when it gets hot in the coop.
Oh,
you
sure.
know, they like to lay somewhere where it's cooler, or they're just having so much fun playing in the yard, they can't be bothered to walk all the way back to the coop, and they just lay them under the hostas. But yeah, chickens love hostas for some reason. They nibble the leaves a little bit. They do a little bit of damage to them, but I haven't had a problem with them eating the entire hosta plant, which is nice.
They also eat slugs, too, don't they? I mean, hostas always have slugs.
They do. The ducks do more so.
Okay, okay.
The chickens, not, you know, it's funny because people will ask me, you know, which bugs do chickens eat and which don't they? And I think it's personal preference because some of my chickens will eat certain bugs and beetles and others won't. Some will eat earthworms. Some aren't interested. Other people tell me, you know, my chickens will eat this bug, but they won't eat that bug. So I don't think it's like a blanket rule. It seems to be a little personal preference on the chicken's part, you know, whether or not
sure.
they eat a particular bug.
Well, that makes sense. We all have our own different tastes too, right?
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as the you've been doing a lot of work with herbs too, and the chickens like herbs, don't they?
They do, and it's funny. I mean, I spend way too much time watching my chickens, I think, in retrospect. But you know, I would notice that while they'll eat, like say, a pea plant, they'll eat the entire plant in one sitting. In my herb garden, they wouldn't do that. They would kind of nibble a little basil and then move on and nibble a little parsley and move on. And I started reading, and I think it's because herbs are so incredibly nutrient dense.
Sure.
That the chickens were getting what they needed by only eating a little bit.
Okay.
So I started reading more about the different herbs and the benefits, and there's not a lot of study done, you know, on herbs with chickens because
well, Lisa, you know what?
These studies.
I'm going to have you stop right there because we're going to break for news, and we'll talk about herbs when we get back. We've been talking with Lisa Steele about her latest book, Gardening with Chickens, Plans and Plants for You and Your Hens. I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry Mueller today. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. We'll have a lot more right after the news. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm filling in for Larry this week. Our guest is Lisa Steele. She's a lifelong gardener and a fifth-generation chicken keeper. She's also certified master gardener, and her website, Fresh Eggs Daily, has been named one of Better Homes and Gardens' top 10 gardening blogs. She has written 3 books, and her latest is Gardening with Chickens, Plans and Plants for You and Your Hens. What questions do you have about keeping chickens? What questions do you have about flowers or herbs or whatever plants, vegetables in your garden? We'd like to hear from you, so give us a call. We have open lines. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And of course, you can also post questions, comments, or photos on the Larry Mueller Facebook page. And Michael actually posted a picture of his chickens, and he says, been there, done that, and not an adventure I want to do again. When we talked about gardening and chickens, what do you have to say about that, Lisa?
Oh my goodness, now I feel badly. No, it definitely can go very wrong very fast, but
yes.
You know, it's all about fencing, supervision, timing. I have little cages around plants, you know, even in the yard, the landscaping. I have you know, bricks or stones around the roots of some of the plants. I really don't want the chickens to scratch up, but they can be destructive little things. So sure. I feel his pain. Let's say that.
Well, he's got them in a fenced in area, so he sounds like he's happy with where they are right
okay.
now. But I mean, it does take some planning, doesn't it?
It does, and they're so unpredictable because, you know, they can leave a plant or a shrub or whatever, or your berry bushes alone, you know, for months and months and months, and all of a sudden one day they decide they're going to eat your blueberry bush, you know, with no warning. So,
sure.
So you do have to really do a little bit of planting. But, you know, another option is to landscape around your run. You know, you can plant things either outside and then they can eat, you know, whatever comes through the fence, or you can plant inside, you know, some bushes and things and cage them until they get bigger. But I like to plant, say, rose bushes around the outside and let them trail up the side of the run and over
sure.
the top. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of shade. They like to eat the rose petals when they fall.
And it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And once the bushes are, you know, 3 feet tall or so, they're not going to be able to reach those
right.
higher leaves and flowers. So, you know, there's other things that you can do if you're not quite adventurous enough to really integrate them.
Well, I thought one of your great ideas was a chicken tunnel. Mm. Tell us about those, because that was a pretty neat idea.
Yeah, that's really a tunnel. It's funny. It's kind of a coined term that's become popular. But basically, you're just stretching chicken wire over a PVC or a wooden frame, and you just kind of make a tunnel system, you know, where your chickens can kind of go where you want them to go. So a lot of people will do it like around the perimeter of their backyard, which is great for keeping the bugs. You know, if the bugs
right.
into your yard, hopefully the chickens will get them. But this way, the chickens are safe from hawks too, you know, hawks
sure.
are a big problem. So they can kind of run around in these little tunnels you've made. And people do it for their small dogs, I know too, like
right.
chihuahuas or that, you know, if they're afraid a hawk is going to carry them away.
Yep. I've seen them for kittens. And when I was growing up, mm-hmm. I had rabbits and I would put in my rabbit cages and they would cut the grass down and we just move the cage and mm-hmm. the grass would go. So yeah, it makes total sense. We do have a caller. Sarah from Milwaukee has a question for you. Sarah.
Yes, hi. Thanks for having me.
You bet. What's your question?
Yeah, I haven't raised chickens yet, but I would like to start probably next year. And I'm just wondering, I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I would just like to know the best way of keeping them warm in the winter and if there's a way to do it without electricity.
Oh, you must know yes. about this, Lisa.
Most definitely. We live in Maine, and I don't have heat in my coop. I don't have electricity in my coop. Chickens generally don't need heat. I mean, like other animals, they prepare for winter. They grow in new feathers in the fall. So as long as you've got a coop that, you know, is not drafty, it's not wet, they're out of the wind, they should be fine. I would definitely recommend choosing some cold hardy breeds. You'll want to Google that, or some of the hatchery websites. Like My Pet Chicken actually has a cold hardy breed tab that you can click on, so you can look at, you know, the different breeds, what they look like, color, eggs, and that. But you're looking for some of the larger bodied breeds, Australorps, Buff Orpingtons, Brahmas, you know, girls that have some body fat going on so they can keep themselves warm.
And now, when you say girls, we're talking about hens in most cases, aren't we, and not roosters?
We are, only because a lot of urban areas are not allowing roosters mm-hmm. because of the noise issue.
Sure.
And myself, I mean, we live out in the woods, really, and nobody cares what we have. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of the 24/7 crowing myself. and there's a lot of mating going on. So your chickens get kind of ripped up, and there's a lot of tension if they're not used to being around a rooster. You know, I'll hatch chicks in the spring and invariably end up with a few roosters, and until I can find them new homes, they just chase the hens around all day long, and there's just so much drama. So yeah, a lot of people are opting for the hens-only flock. And, I mean, chickens will lay eggs without a rooster around, so there's
right.
no worries about that. So yeah.
Right. And we had been talking a little bit about herbs before we had gone to the news, but I thought one of the neat things that you do with your herbs is that you actually dry them and feed them to your chickens in the winter. Why do you do that?
Well, a couple reasons. One, there's not a lot of grass in Maine in the winter for them to eat. So it
right.
gets them, you know, greens and something different to munch on. But also, as I started saying before the break, I'm really enthusiastic about herbs because, you know, I noticed that the chickens were seeking them out to eat. So that, you know, made sense to me that they were nutritious. And just lately, Purdue has some TV commercials where they're feeding their chickens parsley and thyme and oregano And I'm thinking to myself, they've got to have done studies because they're not just going to start randomly doing this.
You know, right, yeah.
So there have to be studies backing up that these are really good for chickens. So I feel really validated that my, you know, kind of informal research makes sense. But it does make sense. The chickens love them. They love them fresh, you know, right out of the garden, whether you pick them for them or they pick them themselves. But yeah, I dry them, like, especially right before the first frost when I'm going to lose everything.
Sure.
You know, I just harvest everything and let it dry, put it in a big container. And then I just add, you know, a cup or two to their feed, mix it all up, and they seem to really like it. And it's an inexpensive way, I think, to boost their diet, boost their immune systems. So it works.
And you put them in the nesting boxes. That looks beautiful. It's like they're in potpourri.
It does. And, you know, I hear from, I mean, I've been doing it for so long. I put fresh in the summer when I have them. I put dried in the winter, you know, marigolds and rose petals and lavender, chamomile. The idea is to kind of calm your chickens and some of these herbs. You know, they're very calming, lavender, you know, we know for people. They also keep out bugs. You know, things like mint or rosemary or thyme can help keep bugs out of the nests, flies and things in the summer. But they do look super pretty. And I have to say, if you have an Instagram account and you put some herbs in your box with your eggs, you're going to get a whole lot of views on that picture because people just think it's so beautiful.
I'll bet.
It's practical, too. It is practical. And I have people email me all the time that they, you know, put herbs in some boxes and then not in others.
Uh-huh.
And their chickens will seek out the boxes that have the herbs in them. So, yeah, so I think they do like some.
Scientific study right there. Let's go back to the phone. We've got Nick in Racine calling in. Hi, Nick. What's your question?
Hello. I just had a quick question. Someone's going to be giving me, I'm an urban gardener. I have an urban plot at the community garden. It's like a 10-foot by 20-foot deal. And someone's going to be giving me chicken poop as like a fertilizer to, you know, encourage growth and whatnot. I'm just wondering if there's any things to avoid with applying the chicken fertilizer or like a plant that it could be harmful with.
That's a great question, Nick. Lisa, what should he be worried about?
That is actually a really good question. I have a whole chapter on composting chicken manure in my book because it is something, it's another side benefit of chickens other than the eggs. But you do want to be careful, obviously. You know, any kind of manure from an animal can have pathogens in it, you know, E. coli or salmonella, whatever. So you probably want to let it age for at least 3 months. Before you put it on your garden, I like to clean out the coop in the fall, and I put all of that, you know, on the garden in the fall, and then by spring, it's all had time to kind of age a little bit. It's also really high in nitrogen, so it can burn your plants if you're, you know, applying it directly to seedlings or the leaves. I mean, what I would suggest if you want to use it right away is to apply it now. I mean, you're probably planting soon. But by the time your plants start to come up, you'll probably have had 2 months or so for it to age. And if you're concerned, I probably wouldn't put it like where you're going to be planting your root crops, you know, because you're actually going to be eating what comes out of the ground. I would plant, you know, put it where you're going to be planting things that grow up out of the ground so they're not in the manure. And I would turn it under, you know, the soil. Don't leave it right on top. Just mix it in really well.
So should he mix it in right away, or should he let it kind of decompose a little bit before he mixes it?
Well, you're in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
So you probably don't plant until May 1st at least?
Depending on where you live.
Late May, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking here, you know, I wouldn't have a problem necessarily putting it on my garden now because we're still under snow. So I'm probably not planting until, you know, June 1st.
Sure.
And then by the time you've got another couple of weeks, by the time your seeds start to come up, and so you've got time. But if he's concerned, I mean, he could definitely just compost it and use it next fall in the garden, and then it'll have the whole winter. You know, that's kind of it depends on what you're comfortable with, because, you know, everyone's got their own kind of tolerances to these things.
Right.
But at the very least, you know, obviously wash your vegetables and leafy greens and stuff before you eat them. Wash your hands after applying the manure and all that. I mean, just use good common sense as far as that goes.
Okay, well, good luck, Nick. It sounds like fun with your garden. We are talking with Lisa Steele. She's a lifelong gardener and fifth-generation chicken keeper, and she writes a very popular gardening blog called Fresh Eggs Daily. We've been talking about her latest book, Gardening with Chickens, Plans and Plants for You and Your Hens. Have you thought about gardening with chickens? Have you thought about getting chickens and maybe have some questions about that? We can talk to you about that. We'd love to hear from you. We have open lines. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. We have a great picture from Angela of one of her chickens enjoying the snow this winter. Looks like she was trying to do a chicken snow angel. It's pretty cute. Lisa, you know, we talked about your blog, Fresh Eggs Daily, which we have a link on our Facebook page if anyone wants to check it out. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, how it got started, and what you post on that?
Well, I originally started a Facebook page back in 2011, I believe. I had gotten chickens, and I was posting pictures on Facebook on my personal page, and my friends said, listen, if you post any more chicken pictures, we're going to unfriend you. Enough with the chicken pictures. So I just kind of pulled a name out of a hat and said, okay, I'm going to start a chicken page, Fresh Eggs Daily. And, you know, where my grandparents had chickens and I grew up with chickens, I kind of knew more about them than I maybe realized. And people started asking me questions and I started answering whatever. And I realized I was answering the same questions over and over again. So at that point, blogging was, you know, still kind of new, but I started a blog and I said, you know, I can use it as an archive and just kind of the most common questions I can type out, you know, an article once and I can just share the link whenever somebody asks me the question.
Sure.
So
mm-hmm.
Now, what, 6 years, 800 posts later, I'm still writing about chickens. But I do write about gardening. I have some recipes for using your eggs and your fresh produce. So it's turned into more of a resource, you know, like a complete website. I have links to my books or some of my favorite products that I use, you know, things like that. So
it's a great website. Yeah. I checked it out yesterday and, you know, and it's up to date. You post quite often, which is always nice because sometimes, you know, information gets a little old. So, yeah, it's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Carl in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Carl. What do you have for us?
Yes, I wanted to make a comment about the great added benefit about leftovers. You never, ever have to worry about throwing anything out. The chickens will eat any kind of casserole that might be a little bit questionable for the family or any salad or anything. I mean, they will enjoy it and you never have to feel guilty about the kids not eating anything on their plate because the chickens love it.
Okay. Well, thanks, Carl. Lisa, I know
you...
Go ahead.
No, sorry. That's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up because in addition to your, you know, your vegetable garden, if anything gets bug eaten or if, you know, a tomato is something you wouldn't feed to your family, the chickens will gladly eat it. But he's right. I mean, we do not throw anything away. Everything that doesn't get eaten or that we don't give to our dogs, you know, as far as meat scraps or whatever, we give to the chickens. They will eat anything. They love my cooking. They have never turned their beaks up at anything. And in fact, they can eat meat. I mean, we feed them, you know, they can eat, you know, pork or fish or even chicken. We don't eat a lot of chicken at our house. But,
I wonder why.
they can eat chicken. I mean, we give them a turkey carcass after Thanksgiving.
Wow.
They love that. So,
yeah.
I mean, they'll eat grains and pasta, fruits, vegetables. So he's right. You do not waste any food when you have chickens.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you, Carl, for that comment. Let's go back to Amy in Delavan. Hi, Amy.
Hello. I've had chickens on and off for like 10 years. And my question is, I'm really concerned about like lice or any kind of bugs they might get. I know they like to roll in my dirt. In the summer, we let them out. I live in the woods also. But I usually, when I change their pen or their area, I do it like every 3 weeks and I sprinkle like a powder in there. Is that necessary? Or I kind of am like a bug phobia. And I want them to stay nice and healthy. They always look really nice and healthy. And my eggs are really, you know, everything seems to be going fine. But I don't know if you're supposed to like put a powder on them or if you know anything about that.
Well, Lisa, what do you think?
Well, I agree with you about the bugs. I'm not a big fan of, you know, mites or lice or anything like that. Honestly, your chickens sound like they're doing a great job. They're taking dust baths, which is really the best way for them to stay free of anything. I'm not sure what powder you're talking about. If you're talking about diatomaceous earth, DE, then yes, that's wonderful. I use that anytime I clean my coop. I sprinkle it on the floor, put down the straw. Then I sprinkle a little more. I sprinkle it in the nesting boxes. And I do think that that's important as a preventive. I mean, it's much easier to prevent any mite problems than try to treat them afterwards. But if you're using like a seven dust or any kind of chemical poultry dust or something, I would just kind of advise against that. The DE really does work, and it's all natural and it's safe and all that. Also, you know, adding some herbs. I mean, all kinds of bugs don't like the aromatic herbs. So if you have rosemary or thyme or, you know, mint or any other real strong smelling herbs, tossing some in your coop can't hurt, most definitely.
Okay. Well, great, Amy. Try not to worry about the bugs. Good luck with that. Thanks for the call. You know, you were talking about putting stuff in the coop, and you do something called deep litter. Why don't you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, that's actually a method that I ran across in my, I read obviously a lot about chicken keeping, and it's kind of an old timers method, which I'm a big fan of. Old timers really, they had it going on.
You bet,
They didn't want to spend a lot of money. They didn't want to spend a lot of time. You know, their methods worked and they make sense. So basically you're composting inside your coop. So you clean your coop out in the fall, you put in new straw or shavings or even dried leaves or pine needles. And then as the winter goes on, you keep adding and turning over the litter, you know, as your chickens poop, you turn the litter over and just kind of keep the air going through. And you want to keep about a foot base on the floor of the coop. And you're basically creating a compost pile.
Mm-hmm.
So as any gardener knows, good compost shouldn't smell as long as you have, you know, enough of your greens and your browns and you have it turned. And it also creates a little bit of heat. So you're actually heating your coop naturally, you know, by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You're also creating good microbes. Composting and decomposing creates microbes, which actually are beneficial to your chicken's health. So it's like a win-win. And then in the spring, you clean it out, and you've got wonderfully composted dirt for your garden. So it's in my book. I do. There's a little bit more to it than that, but
right.
That's the general basis. And that's in my book, and it's also on my blog, The Deep Litter Method. It's people are skeptical at first, thinking that that's kind of gross not to clean your coop for 6 months, but it really does work, and it doesn't smell. And like I said, at the end of it, you've got a coop full of wonderful organic matter for your garden.
Well, and I read that. I thought that was just a genius idea because it makes so much sense. And who wants to clean out a chicken coop in the middle of the winter anyway, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, Lisa had mentioned her blog website. It's fresheggsdaily.com. So if you're interested in going there, that's the address you're going to look for. I think we're going to go to Rochelle in Montello. Hi, Rochelle. What do you have for us?
Hi. Fun thing that my dad grows in his garden that the chickens just go bananas over is broom corn, or sorghum, it's also called. And it used to be made for brooms, but they just love it. It grows like 8 feet tall, and you just throw the whole thing in there, and they just gobble it up.
Ah, interesting. Lisa, have you heard of that before?
It's funny. I was just looking through the Johnny Seed catalog, and I saw the broom corn. I've never grown it, but I do know that they like any kind of, you know, like wheat or straw or regular corn or anything that there's, you know, something that they can pick through. So that's a great idea. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, definitely. You're talking about the seed catalogs. I know we're all looking at seed catalogs right now. I really liked your hint for planting seeds in eggshells. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
That's really fun. I mean, it's just kind of another way to incorporate, you know, your chickens into your gardening. But if you save your eggshells, and then, you know, poke a little hole in the bottom, fill them with dirt. You can use them as, like, seed cups, you know, for your seedlings. And then once you're ready to transplant outside, you kind of just crush the shell a little bit, and you can plant the whole thing in the garden, and the shell will just decompose. And for any gardeners out there who know that some of the crops that really like calcium-rich soil, like tomatoes and peppers, it can help prevent blossom end rot by adding that extra calcium into the hole. If you don't do that, you can also crush eggshells and add them to the hole when you're planting your tomatoes or peppers. And that's also really beneficial too.
Yeah, I thought that was a great idea, and it's recyclable. You don't have to buy anything. I mean, what else could you ask for, right? So,
and it's fun too if you have kids.
And I'm sure the kids love that.
You know, family craft. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, Lisa, I mean, I can't believe it's time for us to say goodbye already. We really appreciate you talking to us about your new book and Chickens in the Garden. And how is it doing so far?
It's doing really well. It's actually been named as one of the top gardening books of the spring by USA Today, which was pretty exciting, and on a couple other list. Yeah, so I'm excited because, like I said, I think it's something that can benefit your family, your garden, and your chickens. So just kind of put it all together and it works.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Lisa. We appreciate it. We've been talking with Lisa Steele. Her book is Gardening with Chickens. Thanks to Lexi Brode for on-air production and to Michelle Good for technical direction. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Kathleen Dunn and a rock historian explain how Chuck Berry helped define rock and roll and how his music and songwriting lives on today. I'm Jill Nadeau, filling in for Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network.